This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about an amazing opportunity to come alongside this ministry in our efforts to see lives change through the gospel. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to the message, or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Don't Let Anyone Steal Your Identity.
You have something to offer to this world. Why? Three reasons. Number one, God wired you. Your Heavenly Father wired you with the capacity. Kay talked about it. You're made in the image of God. Imago Dei. Imago is the word for image. Dei is the word for God in Latin. You have the image of God in you. You're wired. And there's nobody like you. Nobody's shaped like you in the whole world. Second, you're in Christ. And He gives you strength. And third, God's Spirit empowers you to do what nobody else can do. So stop comparing yourself. Now, there's a fourth thing, a fourth pillar of your self-identity. Write this down. The fourth one is, Kay's going to talk about it, that in Christ, I am totally forgiven.
The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to say, read that verse with me. It is a powerful verse when you begin to believe it. Read it with me. There is now, with enthusiasm, sorry, don't read it through like you're reading the phone book. With enthusiasm. Okay. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is one of the most liberating, the most freeing verse in the entire Bible, as far as I'm concerned. It says that there is no condemnation hanging over the head of anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Anyone who has come to Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord doesn't have to live waiting for that other shoe to drop, that someday God is going to think up something that you didn't know that you were going to be held responsible for, and it's going to happen. You don't have to spend those sleepless nights of anxiety going over and over in your head. What if God ever, you know, what if God ever finds out I did this or I said that, or what if this? You don't have to live with that kind of guilt and recrimination and anxiety and regret, because when you come to Christ, there is now no longer any condemnation spiritually. We are totally forgiven. Let me just tell you quickly two ways that we can know that to be true. First, it is in God's nature to forgive. It's who God is. It's who He is. In Isaiah 43:25, God says, I'm the God who forgives your sins. And I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. That is a powerful thing to grab onto. God says, I'm a forgiver. There's this misconception that God in the Old Testament, He's judgmental, He's harsh, He's angry. He doesn't have a whole lot to say about mercy and forgiveness and kindness. And then somehow between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus shows up, and Jesus is now the good and kind guy, and it's like bad cop, good cop. And, you know, Jesus is all about mercy and forgiveness, and God in the Old Testament, man, ooh, He's a bad guy. You don't want to make Him mad. And the truth is that the same God does not change. God has always been a God of mercy, always been a God of compassion, always been a God of kindness. And if you're not really sure about that, I really challenge you, go back, look at the Old Testament, do it yourself. You don't have to be a Bible scholar, just start reading through the Old Testament, looking for places where God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will forgive your sins. This one in Isaiah, I'm the God who forgives your sins, so that you can be convinced that God is a forgiver. The second way that we can know that we're totally forgiven in Christ is Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ, underline that, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins. How rich is God's grace, which he has given to us so fully and freely. Again, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of what God said to us through Jesus' death on the cross, we have forgiveness of sins, God's grace. And how is it given to us? The Bible says it is given to us fully and freely, fully and freely. The Apostle Paul says in that verse that Jesus' blood, as we've already said, so highly valued to God, provided for us forgiveness. And now God gives, he just like slathers us with his grace and his mercy. The problem is that even if you are willing to believe that about God and about that's the way he feels about you, we get stuck in trying to apply that same grace and mercy to other people. You know, it's like the grace and mercy spigot gets clogged in us. And when it's us, we want God to just pour out that full grace and that free forgiveness for everything we've done wrong and everything that is sinful about us. We want God's mercy and grace in droves. But when it comes to me forgiving you, that is a different story. And I am not usually as interested in you receiving grace and mercy as I am myself receiving grace and mercy. Anybody else identify with that? That's just kind of the way we are, that even though God has graced us fully and freely, we are not as eager to do that for each other. The Bible says that's wrong. Look at Ephesians 4:32. God says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. When our son Josh was in high school, he came to me one day crying, very remorseful. And he said, Mom, I need to tell you something that I've done. And I kind of took a deep breath because I really had no idea what I was about to hear. Josh is a good kid, was a good kid, but I still didn't know. He's weeping. Why is he weeping? What is he about to confess to me? And he said, I just need to tell you that I used the credit card that you and Dad had given me for emergencies. I bought a few things that I didn't really have your permission to buy. I've taken my friends out to lunch a few times, and I just want you to know I'm really sorry. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, bud, you know the credit card bill's coming up here, and you're gonna confess ahead of time rather than us find out through the credit card bill. But I was just really angry because Josh had broken our trust. You know, we had given him this card in good faith in case there were emergencies, and here he had abused our trust. He'd lied to us, basically stolen from us. And I was so angry at him. And I really had all kinds of things that I wanted to say about, you know, how deep my hurt was and how he was grounded for the next, you know, 3 years of high school. And I mean, I just had all these really angry, upset thoughts that I wanted to say. And at the exact moment that I was getting ready to blast him in my anger, God reminded me of this verse. And I was like, oh man, don't you hate it when God does that? Because you've got all this righteous anger going, and then he brings the word to you, and you're like, ah. And it was like, okay, I had a moment. Thank God he helped me realize that as a parent, I had a moment. And I could either reveal to my son something about the nature of God and the way that I forgave him, or I could just be a human parent who was justifiably upset, and I could distort the image of God. I could rail on my son. I could discipline him in anger. I could punish him. I could say all these things about how he had let us down. Or I could remember that I have already been forgiven a million times more than what my son had done in that moment. God has already forgiven me, and that I had an opportunity to say, I forgive you. I am angry. I'm hurt. And there will be consequences. But I just want you to know that I do forgive you. And so instead of railing on him and spewing all kinds of stuff, I had a moment to channel the way God would do something. God meets our sin, and often there are consequences for our sin. We don't get off scot-free in the sense of sometimes there aren't consequences, but I had the opportunity to offer him grace fully and freely. But here's the truth, you guys, about forgiving fully and freely. As parents, as teachers, as educators, as coaches, We have so many opportunities to make sure that we don't distort the image of God. Sometimes good kids make stupid decisions. Sometimes good kids make bad decisions. And we can either jump on them with both feet and take them to the ground and you know, threaten them with everything that could possibly ever happen and take away everything forever. And we can distort the way that God has forgiven us, or we have the opportunity to fully offer grace and mercy as we build their identity. Rick is going to come and finish this message.
Okay, let me wrap this up. Everybody in life at different times has felt the pain of rejection. There's nobody goes through life without feeling some kind of rejection by different people, different groups at different times. But studies have shown that the earlier you were rejected, you felt that, the younger you were when you first felt major rejection, the greater the impact it has on your life. So if you were a young child and you felt abandoned, or you felt rejected, or you felt unloved, that's a real problem you're having to struggle with. And if you were told as a kid, you don't really matter, in so many words, or you're a failure, or you'll never be up to my expectation, that's a hard thing to move over. In many ways, it was like a curse on your life. How do you reverse a curse? How do you reverse a curse? The truth will set you free.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. But if for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support.
Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
The truth will set you free. Everybody's heard that phrase, but they don't know the full verse. It's a quote from Jesus. And the full quote is this: if you continue in my word, the Bible, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciple, you'll be my followers, and then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's the full quote. The truth isn't out there on TV, the truth is in this book. And if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. What is the truth about you? You're accepted, you're loved, you're forgiven. You're chosen, you're priceless, you have something to contribute to the world, and when you mess up, you're forgiven. That's the truth. That's the truth. The way you tend to feel about yourself, your identity, your self-esteem, your self-worth is largely determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. So friends, I highly recommend you make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life. Does that make sense? That is your true identity. When you settle your true identity, you become almost impervious to peer pressure because you know who you are and you know what you're supposed to do with your life. This is your true identity. You are not what your parents say you are. You're not what your peers say you are. You're not what your partner says you are. You're not what the world says you are. You are not what the media says you are. You are not what social media says you are. You are not what bullies who criticized you in school say you are. You are not what you tell yourself when you are self-condemning yourself. And you are not what Satan tells you are. You are what God says you are. And the truth will set you free. Now, as your friend, as your pastor who genuinely loves you, have I told you lately that I love you? The big question comes down to this. Who in the world are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the world says about you? That unless you look a certain way, unless you talk a certain way, unless you do certain things, unless you cave in to certain moral issues, unless you believe certain things, you don't matter, you're worthless. Are you going to believe what God says about you? Some of those two, one of those opinions isn't going to matter in eternity for trillions and trillions of years. I'll say it again. It is liberating the day you realize that you don't need other people's approval to be happy. By the way, did you know what Jesus said is the way you express your identity publicly for the first time? The way you come out with your new identity? It's called baptism. If you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting on? Baptism says, I've died to the old me, and I'm beginning a brand new me. Last verse on your outline, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from the Bible, verse 17. When anyone is in Christ, it's a whole new world. The old things are gone, including all the guilt and the shame and condemnation. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. You say, man, I'd like that. I'd like a whole new world. It's like starting over. It's like getting a fresh start. It's like being born again. Ooh, I kind of like that term. It's not turn over a new leaf. It's get a whole new life. God says, would you like a mulligan on your life? Would you like to start over, fresh start? Okay, it all starts where? In Christ. You say, well, I'm not so sure, Rick. I'm in Christ. Well, I can help you settle that one right now. It's real simple. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God, our Father. Thank you, Father, that you can heal broken hearts, and you can heal bitter memories, and you can heal damaged self-esteem. And I thank you, Lord, that the patterns in our minds can be erased and reversed. And I thank you that you turn nobodies into somebodies. And Jesus, I'm asking you to help my friends here, help these dear people to begin to see themselves through your eyes of love. Now you pray. In your mind, say it, just say this in your mind. God hears you. Say, dear God, just say, dear God, I want to be in Christ. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Just tell him that. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I don't understand it all, but I want to be in Christ. And I want to start living my new identity in Christ. Help me to care more about what you say about me than what other people say or think about me. May the truth set me free. For the rest of my life, I want to be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Now, the head's still bowed. I'm going to ask everybody here to repeat these truths aloud with me. They're the things we just talked about. But I want you to say them aloud so that your own mind hears them. And just with your head bowed, everybody say this aloud. Because I am in Christ, I've been chosen by God. I am completely loved by God. And I am completely accepted by God. And in Christ, my value and worth are priceless. And in Christ, I have something unique to offer to the world. And in Christ, I have been completely forgiven. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, over the last several months, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now, more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he's asked us to invite you to become a partner in hope. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Friends, we believe that God wants everybody to be saved. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, God doesn't want anyone to be lost. That means you'll never meet a single person in your life who God doesn't love and who God doesn't want to be saved. Now, if God wants every person saved, then we should too. And that's why I started Daily Hope. You know, there are literally billions of people who've never heard the name of Jesus. And we can only reach them if we work together. And that's why I'm asking for your help. Would you be my partner in helping getting God's Word out to the world, to the people who have no Bible, no believers, and no body of Christ? You know, there's nothing more important that we can do together than to help other people see God as He really is and to help them understand the depth of God's love and grace for them. It's your faithful support to this broadcast, Daily Hope, that helps us tell more and more people about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Friends, if you'll make a monthly investment as a partner in hope, together we can broadcast this life-transforming message of the gospel through radio and through podcasts and online, literally around the world. We need your support.
It's so easy to join. You simply let us know how much you'd like to give each month, and we'll set up an easy regular donation plan for you. If for any reason you're not able to help financially at this time, we absolutely get that. In fact, the most important way you can help Daily Hope is to pray for us, and we'll pray for you. If you can give at this time, please know that your sustained monthly support will help us to continue broadcasting the life-transforming message of the gospel on the radio, on the web, and via podcast. To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you a very special thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com or you can call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.